Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for joining me today. The sun is shining in my world. I hope it is in your world as well. I think spring is pretty officially here, and the sunshine is starting to happen. So I am pretty optimistic. I think things are looking positive for warmer days and maybe a little bit of greenery around the corner. And that is going to make things delightful and happy. And Psalm 37:4 says, delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. I think the desires of Luis Palau was to take the gospel to all the corners of the earth and to try to let the name of Jesus Christ be heard by everyone who would listen. And we're going to be talking about that in the next couple of minutes. His movie comes out, the Luis Palau movie. That starts, I think, tomorrow. We're going to find out all about that, though. Brad Person, the producer, is in studio. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to find out all about that. It's in theater 2 days only, April 4th and 6th, and you can get your tickets at the website. And the website is Palau, P-A-L-A-U, themovie.com. Just to get things started, I'll take a 60-second break and talk to Brad in just a minute.
Maybe you wish it were easier to make time to be with God, but your schedule is overwhelming already. Or when you do open the Bible, it leaves you with more questions than answers. The one-year Devotions for Women with Jill Briscoe gives deeper understanding of the Scripture and makes it easier to spend time reading God's Word each day. We're giving away one copy every week this month. Enter to win at myfaithradio.com.
Hi, I'm Matt Dean from Life 101.9, Faith 93.1, and AM 1090 in Waterloo, Iowa. And I hope you'll join me in celebrating 70 years of ministry for Faith Radio. From one small AM station in the Twin Cities to AM and FM signals in 9 markets across the Upper Midwest and in Hartford, Connecticut, God's blessings are plain to see. We're grateful to be able to partner with Faith Radio and look forward to the next 70 years.
It is 6 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the show. I've got Brad Person in the studio. He was in Buenos Aires yesterday, and he's in the studio today, so I would consider him sleep-deprived for sure. He has been documenting the Luis Palau Association around the globe for 15 years. It's taken him to 37 countries with his documentary photographs and footage. It's appeared in dozens of international media outlets, including New York Times and Washington Post, the LA Times, USA Today, etc., etc. He has co-founded several media companies, and he's served on corporate boards and as a media consultant to ministries and Fortune 500 leaders, and he's willing to talk to me. So how cool is that? Brad, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Now, tomorrow is the big Palau, the movie, comes out tomorrow and on April 6th.
Tomorrow's a big day. Yes, it is a special event film, and it opens tomorrow at the Eden Prairie Theaters, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Thursday evening, the 4th, and then also on Saturday at the Eden Prairie Theaters at 12:55.
Okay, so, now, remember that we're on a show that's all over the Upper Midwest, so do you go to the website and punch in your zip code?
Exactly. The film's playing in 400 theaters across the U.S.
There
and over
go.
1,000 in South America. PalauTheMovie.com. Hit your get tickets. Enter your zip code. It'll show you the theater.
Punch your zip code in, and they'll tell you where to go.
Yep, exactly.
But I appreciate you telling the people in the Twin Cities area where they might see it. So I appreciate that. Now, you've been with the organization 15 years. You've taken a lot of pictures throughout your career. Tell me how you've been involved in this project.
It started here in Minneapolis, actually, 15 years ago. Palau had a festival here in 2004.
At the state capitol.
Yes, and Grace Church of Eden Prairie, where I'm a member, was one of the early sponsors of the festival, and the Palau people asked the leadership at Grace if there are any professional photographers in the congregation who might be willing to come out for the week and document. And they recommended me, and then the Palau organization hires me ever since to go around the world with them and document. So it's been quite a blessing.
Yeah. That's a great story in and of itself.
So 3 years ago, I am in Dominican Republic with World Vision, who I got to know through the Palau Association. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they take some of their major donors around the world to meet the children that they sponsor. In this case, it was a family from Louisiana who has sponsored 25 kids in Dominican Republic in a small, very poor village. So they asked me to come down and document this family meeting these kids for the first time. This family had never been to a third world country. In the van from the airport, the four-hour drive into the middle of nowhere, I got to know this family and found out that they had just recently sold their major oil trucking business in Texas. The family's, the gentleman, his name is Bill Buspis. One of his best friends was Willie Robertson of Duck Dynasty fame. Mm-hmm. Willie had led him to the Lord and baptized him on Willie's property just a couple years earlier. And when they sold, the Buspis family sold their business, Willie had challenged Bill, "What are you going to do with your life now? You're born again. You have a new lease on life, a new vision in life. And now a lot of wealth. What are you going to do to make an impact for the kingdom?" And Bill had invested in some Christian media up until that point and decided to put to develop a fund to invest into more Christian media. And he was telling me his first project, with which they had just started at the time, and again, this is 3 years ago, was a documentary on Billy Graham. And I said, "I think I have a really good interview for your documentary. A good friend of mine, his name is Luis Palau, was Billy Graham's main Latin interpreter every time Billy preached in a Latin country for many, many years." And Mr. Buspis had not heard of Luis at that time, since he's most popular in South America. They call Luis the Billy Graham of South America. And he asked me to tell him Luis's story. So over the course of the next 3 hours, I told him Luis's story, and he just kept asking me more questions. His eyes got bigger and bigger, and he said, "This story is every bit as good as the one I'm doing on Billy Graham right now. Do you think Mr. Palau would ever entertain a project about his life?" I said, "I have no idea, but I'd be happy to help you make an introduction."
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to where we are now. Luis initially said no. He said no several times. Basically, in my opinion, because he's very humble and he didn't want his name on a film, he also said several times, "Why would people think my life is interesting?" But we came back to him with one last chance and one last opportunity, and we said, "Luis, think about it this way. If you were to make any sort of movie," and he's kind of a movie fan, "whether it be about you or not, what would the two messages you would like to, or what's the message you would most like to portray in a film about anyone?" He came back a week later and he said, "Okay, I've got an answer for you. I've got two things I want to portray. Number one would be a clear gospel message. That's what my entire life is about, so I'd want the gospel to be shared clearly in different ways throughout the course of the film. The second major theme that I would want incorporated and to be clear in the film is that I would want the message to come through that the Lord can use anybody at any age, in any circumstance, in any family, any socioeconomical background, and use them for his purposes if they will simply trust in him, turn their lives over to him, and ask the Lord to do what he wants to do through their life." He tells the story of how that happened to him at a young age, and we can get into that later.
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, this is a true story. He's a little small town in Argentina, and he decided at a young age that he wanted to commit his whole life to serving the Lord, didn't he?
Exactly. And when we got him to think about it in that way, he finally agreed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
While we were going through this process, he said, "This is really I've always looked forward in my life. I've always looked to the next big festival, the next church I'm going to speak at, the next group. But this process of making a film about your life has really forced me to look backward." mm-hmm. where it all started. And I can now see the Lord's hand on all these different chapters and bringing me to where I am today. And he said, that's really been very interesting. And I think you're right. I'm now starting to see what you guys have recognized all along, that this could be a really interesting story that could really touch the lives of many.
And he's got a million monuments to the faithfulness of Christ along the way, doesn't he?
It's true.
Yeah.
It started at an early age for him.
Yeah,
He was at boarding school. His family was very well off when he was young. His dad was a business owner, had many employees. They sent him to a British boarding school. He grew up in Argentina. They sent him to a British boarding school. He gets a call at age 10. This is all in the movie. Come home quickly. Your father is very ill. And long story short, he arrives home.
Spoiler alert.
Just a couple hours, spoiler alert, yeah. after his father passes away.
Okay.
And it was just a quick pneumonia thing. He died within the course of 7 days. It was right in the middle of the war down there in Argentina. Mm-hmm. So all of the medicines were with the army. They didn't have medicines for the locals. So he literally died of pneumonia in a course of 7 days. But growing up with his dad, even though he was a successful businessman, the heart of the family was really evangelism. The father would literally street preach with Luis at his side because Luis wanted to be there on weekends. Literally go on the street on a soapbox and street preach and plant churches in Argentina. And that planted a seed at an early age in young Luis's life. And you see this whole process and struggles over the course of the film. But it really started at a young age for him, losing his father at age 10.
Wow. Palau, the movie. It opens tomorrow in select theaters. And the way to learn where it you can see it in your neighborhood is go to PalauTheMovie.com, PalauTheMovie.com, and you can type in your zip code, and it'll tell you where to go. So Brad Person is the producer, one of the producers of the Palau movie. He's in my studio telling a riveting story about Luis's life and this movie that is going to be out in theaters tomorrow. So you're going to want to get your tickets at the website. And it's the power of one man's life and the way he impacted so many millions of people. We'll take a short break and be back with more of Brad in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. Brad Person is in my studio, and we're talking about Palau the movie. And Palau the movie opens tomorrow, two nights, April 4th, April 6th. How do you get tickets? Well, you go to PalauTheMovie.com and you type in your area code, and then it'll tell you what theaters it's going to be in. So when this project got on the radar screen and Luis finally said, yes, I will go ahead and bless this effort, take us back to the start of this project and how when the shooting began and what kind of news you encountered. This is a big deal.
We hired Hollywood, very experienced people, to take care of the Hollywood side,
okay,
the business side, all of the production side, hiring the cinematographers and the music and all that stuff. And we shot 95% of it down in Buenos Aires and the other 5% in Houston. This was 2 years ago. 2 days before we started shooting in Buenos Aires, I get a phone call from Palau, and he says, I have some news for you. You know that cough I've been struggling with, and since I traveled with him a lot, I obviously noticed, and he'd noticed, and everybody had noticed, he doesn't ever hesitate on stage. Mm-hmm. But he had been having to hesitate, turn his head away from the microphone, and cough,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe every 2-3 minutes, which was very abnormal for him. And he just couldn't get rid of it. He said, I was diagnosed this morning. This was 2 days. We're down in BA. I was diagnosed this morning with stage 4 lung cancer. It's massive. It's in one of my lungs. I'm in shock. I can't believe it. And he said, where was stage 1, 2, and 3?
Mm-hmm.
I've gone right to 4. But he was kind of chuckling at the time. But he said, I wanted you to know it's obviously the Lord's timing in this film. He said, I've lived a long and very productive life, and I know the Lord's hand has been on me and my family and the ministry for all these years. And if it's my time, it's my time. I asked him what his prognosis was. He said, the doctor said, you probably have 2 months to live if you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
maybe 9 months if we do aggressive chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, give me the chemotherapy. I'm on this earth as long as the Lord will have me to proclaim the good news. So we're going to keep going. So he's taken the chemotherapy. He's had ups and downs with it. But that 9 month best case scenario has now turned into 16 months. So he calls it overtime or bonus time. But he's still the exact same personality. He just doesn't travel anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Since his early 20s up until the day he was diagnosed, he was on the road 28 days a month because he was an evangelist all over the world. Now he's a stay-at-home evangelist, doing a lot of media out of his house. He still preaches at area churches in Portland, where he lives and is based, but he's not traveling anymore because he can't because of his immune system.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, very interesting story to find out 2 days beforehand. And of course, he didn't know this was coming. He didn't think it was anything more than pneumonia or a bad cold. He just couldn't shake. Yeah, the Lord's hand has definitely been on the project, and the timing surrounding all of this is just amazing. I've seen the movie 100 times now through all the edit processes, and I tear up every time because, you know, not only has he meant so much to me as a mentor, you know, both as a family man, a businessman, and what he does for business. But yeah, just a Christian man who's dedicated his life to proclaiming the good news. And we all do that, and at least we should be doing that in our own lives, whether it's through radio or mass evangelism or just being a witness to the person across the desk from you at work or in the retail store you work at. He's continuing on, and I'm just thankful it looks like he's going to get to see this all come to fruition. You know, kind of a pat on the back. He's not a pat on the back kind of a guy, but it's been fun to hear him say, I really had to look over the course of my life, you know, as we were going through with the writers and directors, all of the details, making sure we get these right in the film. He was forced to look back at his life instead of always looking forward. And it's been fun to see him recognize, wow, the Lord's hand was really on me at 10 years old when my father passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got discovered on the street corner preaching after my dad passed away, I wanted to continue preaching on the street corner just to keep honoring him. And I knew that the Lord then had that calling on my life as well. And then all of these other steps that you will see in the film, it's just been fun to him to see him. You know, he doesn't crave recognition or those sorts of things, but I think it's been very fulfilling to him over and above the millions of lives that he's introduced to the good news and to Christ. I think it's been fulfilling to him and his family to actually look back and to actually see the story unfold of how that happened, and you can clearly see the Lord's hand on it. Mm-hmm. At each step.
Brad, when Luis was in the prime of his schedule, was he doing a lot of crusades, the kinds of crusades that Billy Graham did? What was the basic format of most of his work?
Great question. He met Billy Graham in Fresno in the early 60s, where he, by chance, was, you'll see this in the film as well, Billy's Latin interpreter. Billy quickly recognized that Luis had the gift, not only of evangelism, but in communication and able to speaking to large crowds. And Billy then really took him under his wing. Yes, Billy told Luis at that time, I've gone through a lot of trial and error. I'm going to give you all of the tools that I have learned the hard way. Here's kind of the roadmap to how to hold a successful, in those days they called it a crusade.
Mm-hmm.
So he really took Luis under his wing and said, you know, go throughout the world and do this. Billy's, most of his ministry was here in the States. The vast majority of Palau's ministry was in Latin America and around the rest of the world. So, yes, it was almost the exact same model. Palau will say, I shamelessly copied everything he did because he gave me his blessing to do it.
Right.
And why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
So it was, you know, this crusade model in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Into the 90s, even Billy and Franklin started changing things over to be a little bit more modern. You know, they brought in the modern music artists, brought in, you know, kind of other cultural things like extreme sports demonstrations, and tried to have a mix of things that people would be interested in getting people to come out, not only believers, but having something interesting to bring their non-believing friends to get them to come and hear the message. So they now call it the festival model. They have done, you know, two or three domestic ones and three or four international festivals every year since I've been involved. And I started in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to go, they only go to cities where they're invited. So the churches get together. They band together. They decided they want to do this. And then they invite the Palau organization officially to come to their city. It's usually a two-year process. And then the churches and the on-the-ground foot soldiers are tasked with getting as many people to those festivals as possible.
Yeah.
And the lower number ones, number in the 50,000s, the highest number I've seen was 700,000 people.
Wow.
in the streets of Buenos Aires. The most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah,
700,000 people in one place.
That's crazy.
Yes, crazy.
Yeah, that's the power of God for sure.
And when you see the hands go up at the end of the message, there's nothing like it.
Oh,
nothing like
spectacular,
it.
Spectacular, Brad.
Yeah.
So I have to pause there for a minute and just take that in because that's such a spectacular image that I can't see, but you saw. But to see that many people coming to saving faith in Christ.
And the interesting thing is it's the exact same message just as the Bible teaches us in the New Testament. The message is the same. It never changes.
Right,
and
right.
It cuts through to everyone. A child, an adult, someone on their deathbed in old age, a billionaire, or someone who has no resources at all. The same message cuts through to every human being.
Mm-hmm.
If they will just listen to it, soften their hearts, and turn their lives over to the Lord.
When I see a movie about a person's life and the person still happens to be alive, I've seen movies where they make a cameo appearance at the end of the movie and you're almost stunned because you just saw a movie about the life of that person and then now you're seeing the real person. Does Luis make an appearance in the movie?
More spoilers and I'm happy to share.
Okay.
Right at the beginning, we go over, he just does a very quick voiceover while you're seeing old, old family pictures of him as a boy, him getting married, and he basically just says, the Lord has used my life in very unique ways. This is my story
mm-hmm.
in the beginning. And then you see this very first-rate Hollywood-produced story of him as a young boy going through all these tribulations of losing his father and wanting to go to the States but not having enough money to do so. We can pick up the rest of the story at the on the outside of the break.
That sounds fantastic. I did an event where I emceed and Luis spoke at, and I have a picture of him. Which is in my office. I was wondering if he has the picture of me in his office. Do you know if that's?
I'm sure he does.
Thank you.
How could he not? It's got to be a top 10 photograph.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Palau, the movie, it opens tomorrow. And the way to find out where to buy tickets is go to the website, Palau, the movie, PalauTheMovie.com. You'll be able to type in your zip code and it'll tell you right where to go see the movie. It is April 4th and 6th. You need to, it's only in theater for 2 days, so you got to jump on it. Brad Person has been my guest, a producer of the Palau movie in studio. Thank you so much, Brad, for coming in. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
We'll take a short break and be back with lots more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. Awfully nice of Brad Person to come in and talk about the Palau movie. You're definitely going to want to check that out and maybe find out where you can get tickets and go. Coming up on the show next, I always look forward to talking to Adam Weber. He is the founder and lead pastor of Embrace, which is a church that has already 6 campuses in 2 states. Like, when did he get ambitious? I don't even know. I'll have to ask him. He is the senior pastor there, and he was a regular guest on the show for a long time, and then we lost touch a little bit. Now he's back. Hey, Adam, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm great. I am curious about more about your church and your state and your city. So, you know, we did our 70th anniversary of Faith Radio a couple weeks ago and had a blast.
Incredible.
Oh, my gosh, it was so fun. And so we're thinking about taking our little 70th anniversary show on the road a couple of times. coming to a town near you. So we're thinking about maybe hitting Sioux Falls one of these days.
That would be amazing. I'm not even kidding. We need to make this happen.
Well, thank you. That's what I was hoping would be your answer. we would actually come to a church or a place that would be even your church. So if you wanted.
Oh, God, that would be incredible. We need to absolutely make this happen.
Well, we had so much fun doing it. We had it here at the Knight Performance Center at the University of Northwestern. We had 1,400 people show up. I have to say, that's almost some of the most fun I've ever had in my life. And because we have so many listeners in the upper Midwest, why don't we thought it's still 70th anniversary for the whole year, and a lot of people heard about it but couldn't go, so maybe we should take it on the road and go to a couple places. So my first thought was, I wonder if Adam would want us to show up at his church.
Yeah, that's how cool, 70 years.
Dude. I know.
And
I know.
Just thinking about the impact of that is just awesome.
Yeah, so it'd be a night of comedy and fun and music. And so we'll talk about it maybe some other time. I don't even think the microphones are on right now, matter of fact. I don't think it's... Are they on, Rebecca?
Oh, no, they're on.
Oh, they're on. Okay.
Everyone's hearing you right now.
Oh, okay.
The people love you.
Now I'm embarrassed. No, I thought we were off mic.
People love you. People love you.
I thought we were off mic.
These mics are rolling.
Yeah,
rolling.
Okay. Well, I want to catch up with you, and I know you're in a series called The Ripple Effect. I have no idea what that is, and I want to hear about it.
So Ripple Effect is a single action which has a greater ongoing impact.
Okay.
And so what we're talking about is single actions that have a greater ongoing eternal impact. And I think when we think about making a difference or making an impact and allowing God to use us, we think it needs to be something big. Well, the truth is, with a ripple effect, it's actually something really, really simple and something that seems insignificant. And so each of the weeks, we've just been talking about five simple things that can have an impact, a ripple effect, far greater than we'd ever imagine.
Okay.
We started the series by looking at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite character away from Jesus in that story is the young boy who's got the five loaves of bread and two fish.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of this. He's not one of the 12 disciples. We don't even know his name. And yet he basically just takes what he has, he puts it in the hands of Jesus, and Jesus multiplies it. And that's what God wants to do in our lives.
That's a great angle to look at it. I don't really think of it very much. I just think Jesus took what he had and went nuts with it. But this little boy showed up with something and offered it. So there was the ripple effect. It put it in the hands of God and watch it go crazy.
Yeah, and we often think about, gosh, if I had what someone else has, whether it's a gift or like a talent or something like that,
mm-hmm.
that person God can use. You know, that person, they can do great things. But who am I and what do I have? And maybe when I get to what they have, then I'll start allowing God to use me. But this boy, the King James Version says, a young lad has five loaves of bread and two fish.
Love it.
I just think that's so powerful. Like, you know, he just took what he had and he put it in God's hands, and then God was able to move. And so throughout the 5 weeks, we've talked about giving, even just taking what we have financially,
mm-hmm.
seeing a need and trying to meet it, faithfully giving to your church, just taking that and watching God multiply it. And then we talked about going, taking a step outside of our comfort zone and interacting with people who are different from us, who maybe a different race than us, different income level than us, different location than us, and what God can do through that. And we talked about serving and contributing as church, as a part of the body of Christ. We should be contributors, not consumers. And so looking for ways that we can contribute to others, contribute to the body of Christ. And then this last week we talked about deciding. The single greatest decision that you can make that will have a ripple effect is deciding to follow Jesus and making him the Lord and leader of your life. And so this last week is this coming Sunday, we're talking about inviting, especially looking up to Easter. It's amazing what a simple invitation can do. So
mm-hmm.
My family, it was our family physician when I was in high school that invited my parents to church. And, you know, indirectly he invited me, but it's crazy to think about that simple invitation changed my life.
And, wow.
And just the ripple effects. So,
you know, Adam, I think I saw a statistic, and I'm not going to be accurate with this, but if a child comes to faith in Christ, it could affect up to like 12% of the family. If a mother comes to faith in Christ, it can affect up to like 42% of the family. But if the dad comes to faith in Christ, 93% of the family can get saved. How important that is. And I'm thinking of this family doctor inviting your dad and your parents, and they went, and then the difference it made in their lives, and then the fact that your mom and dad got saved, and your dad in particular, has an influence on young Adam, that young lad. Isn't that what they're called? That young lad, Adam, who then is now the pastor of this huge church in Sioux Falls. Come on. This is cool. I'm putting this all together in my head right now.
So it's amazing. I stepped into a ladies group today and just told them about how grateful I am for them and just the difference they're making.
Yeah.
And I actually said, gosh, I wish we could see groups of men doing the same thing. And all of them just started shaking their heads. And so I think men, like, just to challenge us, so often we take a back seat when it comes to our walk with Christ and our family's walk with Christ, when it's like, no, what are you doing? Like, you don't take a back seat in your career. This is the most important thing. And I just think about the difference, like you said, when dad comes to know Jesus, mm-hmm. it changes everything. Well, and I think just even this group of ladies, they're like longing for, gosh, men, step up.
The question might be, Adam, where is your identity? Is it in your career or is it in Christ? Don't make that noise. You got to talk.
No. Well, I think that's the temptation. I think especially for men and women as well. But I think that's a huge temptation. What we do for a living often becomes our life.
Totally.
And it's like, no, our purpose, when we meet Jesus, he changes that. And we still are electricians and
right.
and whatever, but like our purpose is different. That is no longer the foundation of our identity. And I think that's one of the main obstacles and challenge that anybody faces, but specifically men do.
Mm-hmm. I get really excited about these two words, ripple effect, because I want to start praying that in my life. I want to use those words with the Lord when I'm talking to him. I want more ripple effect. It's a good prayer.
I do too.
It's exciting.
Ripple effects, it is, and they can take place any moment. Just it might be a simple conversation. It might be praying for somebody, serving a person. I just even heard a story yesterday of a nurse who had a gal come into her room there for an appointment, and the nurse said, "How are you doing?" And the lady said, "I'm doing okay," and put her head down, and it just like she wasn't given the honest answer. And so she asked the question again, like, "Are you doing okay? Like, is something at home not good?" And that simple act of just noticing that something was wrong, she was able to step in and help the lady. And I think just those small things make such a big difference when we begin to really notice the people around us and the opportunities around us. It's just exciting what God can do.
Yeah, and we should all be energized by those little moments that we can take advantage of and we can have awareness of and we can act upon, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's an adventure. It's just exciting to think about, God, what are you going to do next? And I think so often in our jobs, we clock in, we clock out, and then we wish we could do ministry on top of it. Or it's like, gosh, if this job didn't get in the way or all of this get in the way, instead of doing that, what if in between clocking in and clocking out, we just began to look for opportunities like, God, you're going to do something through these simple exchanges, through this like random act of kindness, through just listening to a person who hasn't been listened to in a long time. Just the difference you're able to do through that, it changes our boring job that we can't wait for the weekend to all of a sudden it's an adventure where we see God and the Holy Spirit moving in us in just exciting, powerful ways.
Yeah, and if you read anything nowadays, you're going to realize that there's an epidemic of loneliness. There's people feeling more disenfranchised, more disconnected, more lonely, and sometimes eye contact, a smile, taking extra time to have a conversation with somebody can be life-changing almost.
It really can, and I think that's true in any person. Like oftentimes we think that's a certain kind of person, maybe an elderly person who's lost their spouse. And no question, that's true. But I found just as true as the businessman who is really successful, yet doesn't feel like he can talk to anybody. And the college student who's got all kinds of Facebook friends, but not one friend that they can,
right,
you know, share how they're really doing. And so that act of acknowledging another person, it truly can change so much.
Mm-hmm. So, Adam, as we're starting to prep our hearts for Easter, let's talk about some of the ways in which we can get focused and get our minds, you know, really concentrating on the celebration of Easter.
Oh, there's so many different things that you could do. I think what's powerful for me, something I always try to do is when there's, whether it's Christmas, whether it's Easter, Good Friday, just to really spend time in those stories, first off, in our own quiet times, can be really powerful. And so maybe it's even printing off a chapter and taking it with us. Right now I'm memorizing verses from Ephesians, and there's something just powerful. And so maybe as we lead up to Palm Sunday, we print off the Palm Sunday story, and we just begin to read it. God, what do you want me to hear? And maybe it's like, oh, we've heard this story so many times, there's nothing new. And yet that's not true. The word is living and active. And so every time we pick it up, it's God's going to say something different to us, something new, something fresh. And so maybe it's printing off verses. Maybe it's just asking God, Lord, I don't want to just walk through this season. I want to be changed. Even like I want to be more like you from this season. Would you just help me to understand the weight of what we're about to celebrate? And then lastly, the other thing is, who do I need to invite? Who, like, this good news about Jesus, this cross and this empty tomb has changed everything about me. And so now who do I get to share that with? And it might be an invitation to a church. Actually, last week I was meeting with someone for something totally unrelated to the church. It was something with kids. And at the end, they said, so you're a pastor. And I was like, yeah, I'm a pastor. I never thought I'd be a pastor. I still can't believe I'm even a Christian. And I was kind of in a hurry to go.
Uh-huh.
And so I really wasn't in kind of chatty mode.
Yeah.
So we had stood up. We had stood up from our table at our coffee shop. I was really kind of wanting to go. And the person said, really? You never thought you'd even be a Christian? And I said, no, I really didn't. And they sat back down and said, can I ask you what changed?
Hmm.
And in that moment, again, my hurried heart was, I just kind of want to go. And God was like, hey, Weber, I think you got 5-10 minutes to spare, buddy.
Right, right. Like, we call this an evangelistic moment.
yeah. I haven't checked your schedule lately, Weber, neither do I want to.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
Sit down and tell this person what I've done in your life. So I sat down. I shared my entire testimony, 5-10 minutes long, and at the end, they said, "Wow, that's an amazing story." And I said, "I don't know what I'd do without the Lord in my life. I'm so thankful for Jesus." And then I said, "I don't know if you have a church, but we'd love to have you come join us." And the person said, "That would really. Do you think I could come?" And I said, "Yep." And I wear exactly what I'm wearing right now. Is what I preach in. And like, no way. I was like, "Yeah." Uh-huh. So it's just cool. Like those moments that people are hungry to hear about Jesus.
Yeah.
And if God's changed our life, gosh, who are we to not share it with people?
That's fantastic. Talk about the ripple effect. I love that story. Adam Weber is my guest. You might not know this, but he's also written a book. I've talked about this many times, and it's called Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Adam Weber is my guest. We'll take a short break and be right back with more. It is 48 minutes after the hour. I'm joined by Adam Weber, pastor of Embrace Church in Sioux Falls. His book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Adam, I know you do a podcast. You're not cutting into my turf, are you?
No, I'm not. I am definitely not cutting into your turf. I was just sitting here smiling ear to ear.
Oh, good.
I enjoy talking with you this much. So
good.
Keep going, though.
Good. Let's talk about a topic you dealt with, which is out of Psalm 55, verse 22, praying in surrender. You turned that into a devotional. Would you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah. In Psalm 55, David says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you." And over you know, hundreds of years, this isn't something I created. There's been this one specific way to pray, to physically extend your hands and to start the prayer with your palms down. And really looking at that first part of that verse, cast your cares upon the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Another place in the Bible, it says, pour out your heart before God. I love that. And so really to start, again, with your palms down, sometimes physically doing something helps. It kind of, for me, oftentimes I'll get on my knees when I pray,
mm-hmm.
almost as a way of telling my soul, you're surrendering, like whether you want to or not, because I'm kind of a stubborn mule sometimes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm going to physically tell my soul what to do. So starting with your palms down, do just what David says, cast your cares upon the Lord. And so maybe just take like 30 seconds, a minute, challenge you to a minute. Start your clock, and for a minute, just cast everything, your worries. God, I give you worrying about my kid. I give you my bitterness towards my coworker. I give you this hurt with this experience that I went through. Worries, struggles, battles you're facing, weight that you're carrying, that it's not your job to carry. God's like, cast all your cares upon me. So that's the start with your palms down. And then the second part of that verse, and he will sustain you. Another translation says he will nourish you or refresh you. And so with your palms up, really as a way of signifying receiving from God, begin to ask him for specific things that you are in need of, things that you feel like you need to be refreshed of. And so, you know, take, again, 30 seconds, a minute, and just begin to pray for specific things. God, would you give me more of your peace? If you struggle with where to look, start with the fruits of the Spirit. Maybe just pray through that. Would you just give me your peace, God, because I don't have any peace. Would you give me your gentleness with my kids, with people that are hard to love? Would you give me your self-control, Lord, because I'm not very self-controlled. I keep doing the same things that I don't want to do, just like Paul talked about. And so that second part of that prayer is, again, he will sustain you. What are you asking from God? And so if you're looking for a way, maybe you've gotten stuck in your prayer life or you're not really sure where to go, maybe that's just a simple place to start. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your cares upon the Lord and he will sustain you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Adam, yesterday in studio, I had Dr. Mark Muska, who's a Bible professor here at the University of Northwestern. And he said to me a while ago, he goes, I don't even like the word praying anymore. I just talk to God. That's what we all should, just talk to God. So I'm thinking you're way ahead of the curve with your book, Talking with God. When you came out with this book, you then opened yourself up to a lot of people reading it and coming to you with their experience from having read it. What are some of the stories or ways in which you have grown yourself from the stories people have told you about the book you wrote? How about that for a question?
That is a good question.
I gotta lay down.
It's been totally humbling. If not every day, every other day, still even a few years after it's been released, like a couple years, it's still like I'm still getting stories from people that I've never met before, which is just humbling. Two of my favorite stories that I think is so neat, and the first one is there was a grandma from Atlanta or Georgia, somewhere that I'd never met before, and she bought a copy for every single one of her kids, her grandkids. And she's been walking through it with them.
Is that why you're driving an Audi now?
Yeah, exactly. No, far from it. Still driving my Fiat.
Okay.
So, but I just thought about, she just talked about the difference that she was even seeing in her grandkids, who are adults, but like they're in their 20s. And I thought, what a cool legacy.
That's so
for
cool.
A grandparent. And really, like, I am not done. Even her kids are out of the house. She's now looking for ways to pour into her grandkids. And I just think, what a cool legacy. What if all of us when we got as grandparents, starting with parents, no question, but even as grandparents began to look for ways that we can pour into our kids.
Yeah, and how critical.
That was something that
As an addition to that, or an addendum to that, if that's a word, what kind of impact grandparents can have, and not to ever take the foot off the gas as a grandparent, to be speaking truth into the lives of the grandkids, right?
Oh, and grandparents, I think, have a voice that parents don't even necessarily have. Whether you're 4 years old or you're 17, you don't want to sometimes hear from mom and dad.
Right.
Like it's like, okay, get off my back now. There's something about there's something about a voice of a grandparent where you just listen. And so when it comes from grandpa, it comes from grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's modeled out in your life. It's impactful. I'm in the age range right now where a lot of people are losing. They've lost a lot of their grandparents. Even some folks starting to lose their parents now.
Sure.
But the thing that often people will say my age when they've lost a grandparent is if they had a strong love for Jesus, that would be something they talk about immediately.
Right.
My love for Jesus came from this one person.
Oh, wow. Makes me tear up.
Last weekend I heard a gal, she's got to be my age or older, she played a song, and before she did, she honored her grandma. The song was "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and she said, "My favorite memories as a little girl was hearing my grandma play that song and worship to it."
Mm.
And I thought, what a wonderful legacy of just speaking that over her granddaughter, who's now an adult.
That's beautiful.
And now she's singing it, and her kids are hearing it. I mean, that's the type of ripple effect grandparents can have.
Yeah. So you got another story? You said you've got two, so I'll make you tell me the other one, too.
my other story, he was a fella who... actually well-known professional baseball player, like MVP of World Series.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. When I was out traveling, I spoke, and afterwards he came up to me, and he was 6'5". I'm like, I can't imagine trying to stand and hit a baseball that you're throwing at me.
Yeah.
I was like, that's frightening. But here was this man, very successful in every way, shape, or form, and I'll never forget him coming up and saying, that just meant a lot to me. And I just want to say thank you. And he said, a year ago, I was living in a hotel down the street here because I retired from baseball and my family wanted nothing to do with me. And it just was another reminder of you can have everything, but if you don't have Jesus, you still have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been great to see him continue his life has just come alive again. And, yeah, you can have everything, but if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. And just that simple reminder, I think we all forget that, but when you see it so evident in a person's life, it just really, really impacts you. And just the power of being able to talk with God in prayer is what's changed him. And he came to Jesus, and I just began to encourage him, like, share all these feelings, this heartache, and he had a lot of regret from what he had done to his family. And I was like, just pour all that out to God. And how wonderful it is that we have total freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
And so just I think that's a reminder I need to hear myself.
That's powerful, Adam. So if my listeners have already listened to my podcast once or twice and they're still battling with a little bit of insomnia, how would they go hear your podcast?
Oh, that's humbling, first off. if they wanted to find it, they could search iTunes or
okay.
Spotify.
Okay.
And just search the Conversation with Adam Weber, and you'll find it.
Okay. Well, I'm awfully excited to connect with you again, and happy Easter. And I'll get in touch with you about maybe bringing the 70th anniversary show to your neck of the woods.
I look forward to it. I really do look forward to it. And happy Easter to you and
thanks
your family
so much.
As well.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Weber's been my guest. Go to adamweber.com, learn more about Adam, and see his book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. We'll take a short break and be back hour two. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.